With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
As the Islanders, Canadiens, Knights, and Bolts continue to battle it out for a chance to play for Lord Stanley's Cup, Chuck Fletcher and the Flyers weigh their options and seek out the best way to improve the team. Let her rip, Chuck. Hey everybody, I'm your host with the most, Joe Gazarian, and I, for one, am all aboard the Seth Jones train to Philly. Bring it on. Dougie would be cool too, but both of them, we need one of them. or a complete left field play for Ryan Ellis if that's still on the table. Something that needs to happen though. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm Matt Arenick, and kind of on that same vein, Flyers fans are actually not happy that nothing has happened yet. You can color me shocked, despite the fact that we're not even in the off season yet. So,
yeah, I was gonna say, can we wait till hockey is done being played before we get angry about the team not doing anything? I'm Mike Zawisza, and Joe, would you say that you're jonesing for Seth Jones?
I am jonesing for Seth Jones. Yes, I'm jonesing for some Jones. Before we get to some Flyers talk and some just kind of quick playoffs talk, a quick word from our sponsor, though. The second round is in full swing, and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to tens of thousands of dollars in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part is that it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download DraftKings app, go to the pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during the day's basketball games, track your results throughout the evening. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details. All right, fellas. Now
Joe,
we got that out of the way.
That was immaculate, Joe.
You know,
riding a bike.
That's one take. I'm back on it, baby.
Yeah.
Let's get into some Flyers talk, though. So, I mean, yeah, Matt, there's a lot of people that are mad online. Surprise, surprise, we live in Philadelphia, which is just a breeding ground for animosity. But the Flyers did, I mean, they did some moves. They re-signed German Rupsov. They re-signed Linus Sandin to one-year deals. They're both two-way contracts, so... I mean, there's a chance. I would hope that they actually get some time in the NHL. There's going to be injuries along the way. It's just a fact. So we'll see if they pop up. And correct me if I'm wrong. Did we not just – something was going on with Sandstrom too? Originally, he was going back overseas, and then
supposed
I don't
to go
know.
To like Finland, right? Like
yeah, they were supposed to go to Finland, and then all of a sudden the Flyers announced they signed him again. So yeah. I guess they must have promised him he's going to get some playing time. He did look pretty good to close out the AHL season. And I remember when we drafted him, I mean, he was very highly touted. I know the joke was like people were comparing him to Lundqvist, but he was a good prospect. He was highly touted for a while there. So what are your guys' thoughts on these re-signings? Mike, let's go to you first, buddy. What do you got in the tank here?
Yeah. Well, first, I just wanted to say to the listeners, we took a week off. Probably feels like more because we're in a one episode a week schedule. So just wanted to thank everyone who listens for bearing with us a week while we're in busy season right now. I think it's off season for the Flyers, but it's
on season for the rest.
It's
of
on
us.
Season for us, yeah. But yeah, no, I think. I mean, anytime a team signs prospects or lets prospects go, my response is kind of the same. Okay, yeah, that's good. Like, who did they let go a couple of weeks ago?
I honestly didn't even recognize their names, but it was a wake up call for them. So,
yeah. All right, Jesus Christ, man. They let two prospects walk a couple of weeks ago. I mean, the fact that we're pretty savvy when it comes to Flyers prospects, and the fact that we can't pull it. Oh, Roddy, was it Roddy Ross? And
it was the Russian.
There was a Russian, Russian name in
oh,
there.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. Sir Duke and Roddy Ross, I think, were the,
yeah,
the two.
Yeah, Sidurek or whatever.
Yeah.
Who?
So anyway.
Insert the insert the Snoop Dogg gif here.
Yeah, so I mean, like, teams are generally pretty good at assessing where prospects are in their development. So if they felt those guys weren't worthy of contracts, so be it. But they, by the same token, they feel that Rupsov, Sandin, and Sandstrom, have clearly continued to show development, and they're, they want them around. And I don't think that's a bad thing, especially since those three they're probably, around like 22, 23-ish at this point. Sandin might be a couple years older than that even. So, if nothing else, Ruby and Sandin, they're two guys that, you hope you don't see them next year. But injuries always happen, especially when I think people are really underrating the fact that we're coming off two shortened seasons and next year is going to be a full season. People were worried about injuries this year and everything, which rightfully so. But I think next year is going to be really tough on a lot of guys. I think that especially during the stretch run, you're probably going to see some juggling of lineups and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm still, I wouldn't say I'm a huge, Rupsov guy in terms of I think his ceiling is high, but I still think he can be an effective bottom six player, which is never a bad thing to have in your system. Same thing with Sandin, too.
No, you can keep players like Rupsov in your system, and that way you don't have to trade for the Nate Thompsons of the world. You don't have to trade for the Derek Grants of the world. You can save that draft pick and use it to draft another German Rupsov. So that's key. If you keep that pipeline, somewhat viable, you don't have to necessarily trade a lot of draft picks. And the Flyers, I mean, make no bones about it. This is still a contending team. I mean, they are, this is the window. The window opened, I guess you could say the window probably opened last year. I think it really opened this year was the first year for me where it was like full send. This is it. I would make moves. And obviously nothing worked out that way, but yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, and I think if you look at most of the teams that are able to win it all, right, you have a bottom six that's filled with players making less than $1 million. I think the Capitals do a very good job of building out their bottom six, maybe not necessarily all through drafting, but savvy signings where you're not spending $2-3 million the way that the Canucks seem to love to sign every bottom six player on the planet. And there's a reason for that. They pay their best players the big money, and then they're able through drafting or through savvy signings to find players who fit the mold of what they're looking for in the bottom six. And that's kind of what Sandin is for us. He was a savvy signing. We didn't really get to see him this year in the NHL, but maybe next year with some injuries, he may find his way in there. And that's kind of what you want. And I mean, it's crazy that people are upset that that's all we've done so far. I mean, I'm not really
can
sure
you
how
even
you
make trades right now? Can you trade with
yeah,
other teams?
You technically can.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can. I mean, obviously, that's something that we'll come up to with the Dougie news coming out. But, I mean, another thing I didn't even know is that, completely forgot, that $2.5 million of our cap space last year was spent on Andrew McDonald and David Schlemko.
I'm a huge David Schlemko guy.
That was such a weird buyout in – when it occurred, it seemed a lot like it was kind of done as a favor. So he
it was.
Didn't have to,
it literally was. I remember reading an article where it was like, yeah, Chuck Fletcher was just like, you know what? Like, Schlemko, you're not going to play here. I'm just going to cut you so you can go sign somewhere else and play somewhere else. But David Schlemko and Lundberg, two of the best names out there, by the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's another $2.5 million coming off the books for us to kind of use this offseason. And you just got to let Chuck see what he's going to do. I mean, should we get into the Dougie and the Jones talk next? Because I feel like
it's a good
talking
segue.
Of trades, it looks like apparently Dougie is available via trade for his rights to be able to not only talk to him prior to free agency, but also the ability to sign him to that extra extra year to make it 8 as opposed to 7 if he's a UFA. So definitely interesting to see if a team's going to pull the trigger on that. Interested to see what they would be looking for. I mean, what did we get Hazy for, a 5th? So you would expect, what, like a 3rd round pick?
Yeah, maybe.
I think a 2nd would be high, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Second is, I mean, you got to be sure. It's got to be a sure bet that you know he wants to play there and that you've got the cash in hand to make him, you know, do a double take. So I think probably a 3rd or 4th, or like a 4th and a low-end prospect or something.
It's funny, like all the rumblings of the teams coming out that want Dougie Hamilton. Toronto, of course. Anytime anybody is available, the Toronto Maple Leafs should sign them. It's just
I've seen so many Toronto, like, I don't even know, it's been like social media about like Konechny's ties to Toronto and the deals that are being tossed around. It's just, it's classic, like any team, right? Like even when we think about deals, the initial thought is you don't want to give up something good, but it was like Kerfoot.
Oh, come on.
It was like Kerfoot,
deal better be good.
No, it was like Kerfoot, someone else, and like a 1st or a 2nd or something. And I'm like, Jesus. I'm like, you guys literally trade it back when you have the opportunity to draft him. We are not going to accept a late 1st round pick, a dude who's a 3rd line center who we just pretty much signed, and Scott Laughton, who's about to become a UFA probably soon, for a 1 year removed all-star winger who puts up 60 a year. Like, yeah, for sure. Signed at 5'5", nonetheless.
That's ridiculous. Travis Konechny might be one of the biggest examples of, sure, your own fan base overrates your own player, but, like, other fan bases drastically underrate him. Like, the lack of value other fans give him specifically is crazy. But
it's, yeah.
Yeah, no, I do think, in terms of Dougie Hamilton, like, if you have the extra assets in hand to go and trade for his rights, I mean, there's literally no downside to doing it, right? Like, worst case scenario, you lose out on a 3rd round pick for nothing. Yeah. Best case scenario, you land a number one defenseman before anybody even has a chance to talk to him. Like,
I did want to ask you guys this. So this is the only thing that concerns me with Dougie, and I don't remember 100% how the story goes, but when he wanted out of Boston, why did he want out of there? Because it was a really good situation. Did he not like being like a focal point? Because, you know, being in Carolina, nobody knows who the Hurricanes are. Like, nobody's gonna know.
He didn't like partying with Brad Marchand and them. Is like basically what it comes down. A lot of people say like he just is a quiet dude. Who, like, the one time he allegedly, the one story is the one time he asked everybody if they wanted to go to like a museum or something, and they all like roasted him and were like, man, you're a fucking loser, like, what are you doing? So then, I mean, that's the one thing, like, he's all just right. a quiet dude.
So he's a precocious guy, that's fine, as long as he. I mean, just because I don't want him to like come here and then have to be like, oh my god, the media here is horrible.
It was like a locker room fit thing. Okay, I think in both scenarios, I think that's what it was. And I mean, I can definitely foresee that being an issue in Boston. I mean, the biggest thing for him, the only chance that we have of getting him before the deadline is if we know somehow that Seattle is going to take Jake Voracek and or JVR off of our hands.
Yeah.
And you have a pretty good inclination that he'd be willing to sign with us. That's the only manner in which it makes sense to go ahead and pull the trigger on the trade now to try to get him that extra year and have early rights, at least in my opinion. So
yeah. That was only my concern with Dougie, is because I just couldn't remember for the life of me. Because I remember when they traded him, it was a blockbuster trade. It was on draft day. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, they traded Dougie Hamilton. So, yeah, if he's precocious and he just wants to go to museums, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. I just want him to – I don't want him to be stressed out here being in this market, because I – listen, Carolina is a really fun team, but, I mean, talk about fire wagon change in terms of media and perception and everything else. Going from Carolina to a market like Philadelphia, it would be a really big deal. So,
yeah.
And I heard rumblings that maybe even Seattle is interested in Dougie Hamilton.
I mean, that would make sense. Just go for it right away. They're get a number one defenseman right off the bat. Yeah.
So
do you think, is the reason why they haven't re-signed him is like they're trying to potentially work around the idea of only having to protect three defensemen, since they have such a good decor? Is like that the reason? It's so confusing to me. Like, or is it also the comments from the owner, who's like apparently does not like defensemen, and they're the best decor in the league? So.
I mean,
doesn't like defensemen.
They've got a pretty, like you said, Matt, pretty good core without him anyway. I mean, what they
Slavin, Pesci.
Yeah. Do they still have Shea? I mean, he's fine on the back end too. But then, yeah, I think that's probably part of it. But then you've also got contracts for like Martin Natchez, Svechnikov, and guys like that coming up too. So that's probably a concern, because Svechnikov and Natchez are going to get, they're going to get paid. They're going to get paid.
I wonder about Carolina, man.
I forgot about that.
I wonder about Carolina sometimes, because apparently that owner is notorious for really clutching his purse. So like Rod is still not signed. Rod Brindamore
is
still not taken care of. And like, I don't know. Wouldn't you want to sign one of like the best young coaches in hockey when your team performed so well? To me, it's there might be some maneuverability there. There might be, because they got so many good young players. Oh.
I wouldn't be shocked if they take some of that Dougie money and give it to like Freddie Anderson or something like that in the offseason. Because
that makes sense, yeah.
Nedeljkovic is a good young goalie, but I don't know if he's
ready for one yet.
Yeah, and I mean, Peter Mrazek is not the answer. So
what do the Maple Leafs do at goal if that happens?
Campbell?
Dude, I think they're just sold on Jack Campbell. I'm not joking. Like,
ride with Campbell.
I mean, his numbers were his numbers were better than Carey Price in that first round series. So I mean, he played a hell of a season, best year of his life, but I don't know. I mean, we talk about sample sizes all the time. Who knows? But yeah, Joe, I know you. I think you sent us. Who sent it in the chat originally? Was it me or you, Joe? About Fridge says that Dougie Hamilton might not even be the guy on the Flyers' radar.
I think it might have been Matt who sent it.
I might have put it in the group. I honestly can't even remember.
I saw it. I haven't listened to their podcast today. Usually I get around to it pretty early in the mornings when I'm at work, but I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. But I saw the reports on Twitter, just like you guys said. Apparently the Flyers are more apt to target Seth Jones. So we're wasting our breath on Dougie Hamilton, apparently. He's, you know, that's not who they want. I am still in the opinion I'm okay with getting Seth Jones. I read Charlie's, Mike, you sent it to us. He had a good retweet thread about like analytics versus the eye test and everything. And, you know, I think all three of us tend to lean more towards analytics. I'm probably the one that goes a little more to the eye test than the other two of you. But I mean, every time I've watched Seth Jones, I've always been impressed. I think he's a very good defenseman. He definitely has had some rough years. But I don't know. It could just be one of those things where you need to change the scenery. I'm 100% in favor of getting Seth Jones and Line A. Let's do a fucking massive
mega deal.
Deal. Well, listen, I mean, Columbus is going full in rebuild, because they thought about hiring Gallant, and then, you know, even Gallant was apparently somewhat interested in the position, and then the Seth Jones news comes out and they're like, okay, our number one defenseman is leaving us. You know, we've got Line A, who, you know, the last report we had out of him was that he doesn't even like hockey right now. Tortorella is gone. That Texier kid, they sat him. Or no, who's the guy they got in the...
They did. They sat Texier a lot. Yeah. They sat Roslovich too, by the end.
The two, like, you know, good players that they got back. They sat both of them. And then all they have left is, like, Werenski.
Yeah.
Who, he's going to be coming up on... probably a contract soon too. I don't know Columbus's cap,
but I think his view is like, since Jones is on his way out, he's just gonna break the bank. He's just gonna be like, give me.
Yep.
He's like, I want 10. He doesn't. I mean, I won't say he doesn't 10? Care.
He can't get 10. Werenski can't get 10.
I mean,
can
who else are they gonna pay? They have no one on the team to pay.
Yeah, that's a great point, man. Maybe like he.
Well, they still have Line A to pay. That's who they have to pay.
Like, why else would he want to stay
not
there?
They're not paying Line A. Line A's not Line A. Not only will they not pay him, he's not going to take wouldn't a cent sign from it. Them anyway. Yeah. I mean, the amount of bad blood that happened within the first week of him being there is absurd, to be honest. I mean, I'm kind of so that thread by Charlie was super interesting about Seth Jones, because I saw, you know, immediately there was a lot of advanced stats people, or at least a few, that were like, Seth Jones is actually not good and he's pretty bad and he was bad this year and all that. And like, look, I'm very analytically driven when it comes to hockey, but I mean, if you're gonna sit there and tell me that Seth Jones, the dude who was a Norris Trophy candidate a couple years ago on that Columbus team, is not good anymore after playing through two of, like, I mean, this year must have been horribly miserable being on that Columbus team.
Gosh.
And then last year was probably not great either, between just how much of a roller coaster it was. It was probably, you know, because remember, they were really bad, then they were really hot, and then they were really bad again to end the season. So, I mean, Seth Jones is...
They played their bag off against Tampa last year, too. I mean, that was an insane series. They, every inch they fought for, Dubois looked really good.
Yeah.
And just so much has gone downhill for them. This is it. You prey on the weak here. I want Chuck to get on the goddamn phone and call Jarmo Kekalainen and be like, listen, all the players hate you. We all know this. Let's make a deal. Let's send Jake and TK on over
that's
to them. Send Jake back to, send Jake back to Columbus. Could you imagine? He would pull a Carter. He would pull a Carter.
He would not play for them. Which, honestly, would not be a bad thing for us either. Like, just...
If he doesn't, I think, you know, if he fails to report, that's on them. So
what's a reasonable trade for
Seth Jones and Line A? Both of them, or just Seth Jones?
We'll just do one. We'll just do Jones.
Right. Seth Jones. I think you probably have to give up a defenseman, right?
Probably Sanheim or Myers.
I would give up. I would go Myers.
First
or Sanheim,
round pick, obviously.
A first, and maybe Frost if they want another.
I would go as far as to do like a first, second, Myers or Sanheim, and then
if you could do mostly picks and then just a defenseman, I'd do that.
I think they're rebuilding.
Yeah.
And he only has 1 year left. So I mean, I think, especially with the uncertainty surrounding Nolan Patrick, Frost is kind of that
too,
plant like 1A, 1B. So I don't not that, like, again, we've talked about this at length, that we don't mind if Frost and or Nolan Patrick are included in a bigger deal that lands us a Jack Eichel or some bigger player that kind of changes the dynamic of the team. But as like a sweetener for someone who's 1 year away, who if we have another bad season could be like, oh, see you guys, like there's no way I'm giving up like two prospects and a first. Yeah.
I think the pretense with any Seth Jones trade is that he's signing the deal.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I think there's...
That's tampering, Mike. How could he do that?
Yeah, you just make sure he signs in Columbus first, and then everyone's like, whoa, Seth Jones staying in Columbus, and then he gets moved 5 minutes after.
I'm sure they...
Because
they're
totally not tampering there.
They have back channels for that stuff, so I
oh, yeah.
I can't say this, though. I can't say this enough. Chuck has to get... either Dougie or Seth, or like I said, a Ryan Ellis deal that came out of left field, fine. One of those players or someone of that caliber has to be in Philadelphia next year.
You can't enter next season relying on Ivan Provorov to carry an entire first pair by himself again, because, look, I'm not saying he can't ever do that or won't ever do that, but he can't right now. He just can't right now. He just can't. And very few defensemen in the league do that anymore. Like, you can't, like, Victor Hedman is a great number one defenseman, you know, can do it all, but even he has to lean on a decent partner every now and then, whether it's Eric Chernak or, you know, Mikhail Sergachev or whoever else. I mean, they have a good defensive unit anyway. So Yeah, he has to go. He has to get another defenseman, number one defenseman.
And real quick, we don't have to stay on this long, but I saw more rumblings that Nolan Patrick wants out. I saw more rumblings online from actual journalism sources. So
yeah, I saw that too.
I'm starting to think.
Was it something from like the Philly Voice? Because I think I was about to read it and I didn't read it.
I don't know if it was Philly. I'm not sure if it was Philly Voice, but I remember seeing it from, you know, the check marks that
I have now seen it from a couple places.
Okay,
yeah.
So that is I'm pretty sure he wants out then. This is how you build a narrative. You know, if it's just coming from one source, okay, maybe, you know, who knows, but now that that's coming from multiple check marks on Twitter, starting to think there's a little more water that might hold a little more water than I thought. So we'll see. I mean, again, we're all for him coming back. I think he's got a ton of potential. I don't know if he can reach it here. It's really up to him. But if we package him off in a big deal, I'm not going to be upset with it. You know, I'm not going to lose sleep. So any thoughts,
honestly,
real quick?
I was just going to say, like, at this point, and this people, I don't care if people can call this a loser mentality or whatever. I've seen that phrase a lot on Flyers Twitter over the past year.
What?
But like, yeah. Honestly, whatever. I just hope that whatever happens with it, Nolan Patrick can get what he wants out of hockey still. Like, I hope that he can, if he stays here, figures it out, has a good, you know, career or a few seasons with us, whatever. Or if he gets moved, I hope he figures it out elsewhere too. I mean, dude's been through probably miserable 2 years, 2.5 years. I just want him to get back to playing hockey healthy, wherever that may be. So that's really all I can, you know.
I don't think that's not a loser mentality. It's just,
I mean, it's not like he's been here long enough to create any animosity as a player or anything like that. He's just a dude who, with a lot of hype and potential, who his
didn't
body
live up to
won't, and it's not even him, like, it's his body just wouldn't let him do it right now. So yeah, I don't know.
We'll see. I don't think that's a loser mentality. I think you're just being a good human being there. Because yeah, Mike or Matt, any thoughts?
I say, dude?
I know,
good person.
Just a little bit.
No, I mean, again, like, I don't want to beat the dead horse. I mean, for me, from an asset management standpoint, like, I'm only moving him if it's in a bigger deal. That's really the only point I have. I'm not trading him for a third. I'm not trading him for that. So that's where I stand.
Let's end with some playoff talk. My Montreal Canadiens fell in the first game to Vegas. I don't know, guys. I think this might be the final stop for this Montreal team. I'm not sure.
What do they do next year to buy in completely after going after Joel Edmondson and
they have to sign Brendan Smith so they can corner the market on people who just cross check everything that moves. That's like their entire playing style is just like,
yeah,
someone skates within 17 feet of the net, you put them in a headlock, cross check them on the back when they're on the ice. No call, repeat.
Yeah, I think this might be the last stop for my Montreal Canadiens. I'm sorry, my francophones. It doesn't look good, guys. Fleury is he's damn good. That Mark, how fucking good is Mark Stone? Oh my god,
yeah, he's nuts.
How has he not won a Selke yet? Seriously, it's just because he's a winger. It's
got
to be.
He's got it. He's got it this year. He probably gets it this year. Or no, didn't Bergeron win it?
No, he's
in it again.
It
hasn't
been
announced
yet.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's him, Stone, and who else?
Barkov.
Barkov's another one who should probably win.
He deserves one too.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll see. Let's give me your picks for Vegas and Montreal, boys. Let's Matt, I'm going to go to you first. Who do you have winning? What's the series?
Five games, Vegas. I think Montreal steals one.
A gentleman sweep. Okay.
Yeah,
I think they steal one at home.
That's what I would say too. Gentlemen sweep, or they, yeah, gentlemen sweep. I don't know. I just can't see them winning two games unless Carey Price full on steals one game himself, because Price has been good this playoff.
Yes,
but I wouldn't necessarily say he's like stolen any games for Montreal yet. So I think if he flat out steals one, I could see it being a 6-game series. But I think Vegas is just too. This is where it's clear that like the talent level and mentality is clearly outweighing Montreal's ability, because like the Jets and the Leafs were probably more talented than the Canadiens, but a mess internally and in the locker room. So they folded as soon as there was any resistance. So I just can't see Vegas doing that. I mean, they got shit on by Colorado in game one of that series. And then...
still won.
Stormed back.
They really outplayed them the rest of the series. By the way, you think Nazem Kadri would have helped just a little bit? Probably.
Story of his career.
Dude, that's
brutal. The Leafs went home two times to the Bruins because Nazem Kadri decided to... Be an idiot in the playoffs. Yeah.
I don't know if I shared the stat last time we were on, but I think he has been suspended in the playoffs for more games than he's played.
Jesus Christ.
I think you did say that actually last time, Matt.
That's brutal. That is extremely impressive from him.
Yeah.
By the way,
easy way to kill a team.
My pick, I'm a loyal guy. You know, I'm going to leave with the girl that brought me here, and that's Montreal. So I have Montreal in seven. If they're going to do it, it'll be Montreal in seven.
Long series.
Realistically, what's going to happen is Vegas is probably going to get them in, like Matt said, probably the gentleman's sweep. But you know what? I'm going to pick Montreal in seven. I'm going to follow my heart. You dance with who brought you, and Montreal's brought me this far. So let's go to the other series real quick. Lightning and Islanders. Islanders steal game one. I mean, I didn't get to watch a ton of it. I watched the third period. But... man, this Islanders team, I don't know if there's a more frustrating team to play against than the New York Islanders. Again, they're just a rabid group of role players who Barry Trotz has playing. Everybody knows exactly their role and how to play it. They're as precise as a Swiss watch. I've never seen anything like it. And that fourth line, I know we make fun of it, but goddamn, is it effective in the playoffs.
Fourth line wouldn't work on it. Any other team or any other system than Barry Trotz. It's absurd. It really is absurd.
And honestly, like, people knock the Islanders for playing, like, boring hockey. In the playoffs, like, it's not boring. The intensity's there. They're a tough out, man. They're going to be a tough out. I still think Tampa will win just because once Tampa gets that power play, they are, you know, otherworldly. So we'll see.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that series real quick?
The Islanders PK I heard on the – broadcast is actually PK is the worst in the playoffs. Yep. So that kind of combination of, like, was Tampa clicking at like a 40% clip right now. So that combo, I just feel like over the entire series will be too much for them to handle. And then I don't know if, I mean, in terms of the goalies, like, goalie straight up, like, Varlamov's been very good for them, but Vasilevskiy's the best goalie in the playoffs right now.
Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious.
I would take Fleury over Vasilevskiy right now.
Fleury's playing out of his mind right now. I will say that. Did you see that sequence he had on Caulfield late in the game? Just refusing to let him get on the board again.
Yeah.
Caulfield was literally laughing. They like zoomed in on him. He was like smiling. Yeah. He's like, this is ridiculous.
I think that series has a chance to go seven. The Isles and Bolts.
I 100% could see that happening for sure.
Especially because this is the rematch that nobody wanted. So we're seeing this a second straight year, and
everybody wants Tampa and Vegas, right? I mean,
that's a ratings extravaganza for the NHL right there. It's two of the most, you know, outside of the Avalanche, I guess it's two of the most
fun
electric
to watch
teams to watch in recent memory too, not just like this season, but name a more exciting team to watch in hockey than this Tampa and this Vegas team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. They're two very good teams, two very, very good goalies, and they can score kind of at will sometimes, especially Tampa. So any last thoughts, gentlemen? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Matt, that penalty kill / power play thing, I think the other day when I was working, or the other night, the Islanders were at like 68% kill efficiency, and Tampa was at like 41% scoring efficiency on the power play. So, I mean, that's almost a 60-40 split right there, right? So that'll be fascinating to watch how that plays out.
We'll see. I need a little more from Matt Barzal. I need him to get a little more going here. He's a really, really good
Matt
player.
Matt Barzal gets a lot of... This happened last year, too, in the Flyer series. Like, Matt Barzal gets a lot of oohs and ahs when guys are watching, or, like, commentators watching the game or calling the game. But you look at his stat line, and he has, what, a goal or two this postseason?
It's not insane.
We can't say that much because the Flyers aren't even playing. But, like, I mean, he does a lot of skating around. Wasn't it him? They were like, he does the most skating per shift in the NHL. And it's like, all right, well, like,
yeah,
he has it on the perimeter.
Every night he reminds me of Ville Leino, just like in the offensive zone. Remember how Leino could just, circle around for minutes? And Barzal can do that, but yeah, he's got to get some points on the board. I do like him a lot, but he's got to get some points. What were you going to say, Matt?
No, I was going to say, I mean, he's been good more recently. I think obviously he had a goal last game, and he had one, and I think, what was that? Is that game six? When they didn't go seven with Boston. It was six, right?
Yeah, it was six.
Yeah.
They, I think he had
their
one.
Heart out.
Yeah, I mean, he's been getting a little hot as of late, but yeah, I mean, he's going to have to drive. He's going to have to drive that team the same way.
Yeah, if they're going to beat Tampa, he's going to have to be.
He's got to be Braden Point. Like, him and Braden Point are going to have to
Did
be.
Did you guys catch who he's so he good. Was matched up against in that game one? Mm-mm. I didn't really see.
I only caught the third period, so I did not.
I think Tampa should go. They should go Sorelli against him, but I mean, is Killorn playing center right now? Because they could go Killorn on him and kind of just bully him on the wall, I guess.
That's
but,
some size there. That's a thick man. By the way, real quick, Tuukka Rask only wants to play in Boston. Or you think he goes?
He should stay, and they should sign him. Even if they want to move forward with Swayman, he should at least be the 1B or 1A.
Matt, what do you think?
I mean, I think we talked about this. Like, for whatever reason, Boston fans love to hate on Tuukka. Like,
yeah,
it's their favorite thing. And he's been statistically, like, one of the top two goalies over the past, 10 years in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yet they just continue to love. Like, any goal, even if it's not his fault, is his fault. So I hope that they're stupid enough to let him go and he goes, like, out west or something. Like, maybe he goes to
Colorado.
Colorado on a two-year deal, 2-3-year deal.
That'd be nuts.
That'd be very good, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, as long anything that gets him out of the East, I'm happy with.
Yeah, one less headache for the Flyers. Speaking of the Flyers, they got work to do, guys. We'll be back next week. We'll see if any moves are made between now and then. Probably unlikely, but I mean, Chuck should at least be working those back channels to make sure everything is, is in line. He's got a lot of runway to work with. So, when the draft hits, I'm expecting, I would think they're going to make a move, if maybe even on draft night. I don't know, but I don't want them picking. So I want that pick gone somehow. So we'll see. Anything left, boys?
No.
Well, I guess the only...
Oh, here we go. We talked about Sixers. Go Sixers. I mean, tough loss last night for the boys.
They'll get it back.
I still like the Sixers to win the series, but hopefully Joel's... We got to get a prayer circle going, Mike, for Joel's knee. So can you organize?
Yeah.
We got to get another prayer circle going for Ben Simmons to remembering how to shoot. So just for
I was trying to think of like a prayer there, but I couldn't come up with anything. So
Ben Simmons is like 38% from the free throw line, by the way. It's something insane.
Not good. Not good.
All right.
Not
well,
no, oh, another Matt, thing I'll add is go. That make sure I'm understanding this. So it looks like the expansion
Lobby.
Draft. Well, that
too. I think we didn't we talk about that? I think
we
talked about that.
He wasn't official last episode when we talked about it, but
Lappy
it is official.
And, it's official.
Yeah,
we forgot to talk about Lappy. Whoops. Yeah, he's Peter Laviolette. Or Peter Laviolette. Jesus Christ.
High praise.
Yeah, Lappy. Yeah, that quite a drop for Lavi to be the Phantoms head coach. But yeah, Lappy's going to be the new Phantoms head coach. Everybody kind of called that one. Not really a shocker, but. I'm not worried about it. I think, like we said, we kind of already killed this horse. So he gets the most out of players. That's what he does. He's a very good mentor, it seems, for the young players. I've never heard a bad word come out of the locker room about him. So hopefully he gets the most out of his guys, and he just doesn't make Zade Wisdom block shots with his face.
Yeah. No bad words, just bad production. But what I was going to get to is expansion draft next Wednesday, the 21st. So it's, I mean, what's today? I don't even know what day.
Wait, the
today?
Wait, no,
draft?
Not possible.
No, they have
got to finish.
They're submitting their lists, right?
Oh, is that what it is? That, yeah, that makes sense because we're not even close to being done. So
yeah,
the list
shit.
Is.
Could you imagine being on the team?
Like the middle.
Yeah,
you're
hey,
playing
you go
for
to
the
Seattle,
cup and you're just yeah.
6 months
typed
from now,
you'll
be in Seattle.
Hold up, I typed in like the draft. Why does it say Wednesday? Oh, that was a 2017 expansion draft. Love that.
Okay, there we go.
Love that. Hold up. Sorry. I'm trying to pull up. Okay. So that's July. That makes more sense. So that's July 21st. And then the draft itself is the 23rd and 24th.
Okay.
Oof. Oh, boy.
So
only we're only, what, a month and a week away? That's this season, they've been cooking this season. They fit a lot of stuff in.
It's going to be heating up here the next couple weeks, boys. I think we're going to see some movement. So
you're going to have a JT episode, maybe?
Oh, well, yeah. We're going to need JT for the draft episode again.
We're going to do a mock expansion
draft.
Have him start crunching the numbers. 100%. Have him start crunching the numbers. We're going to need it.
All right.
All right, boys. Well, for Matt, for Mike, for myself, Philadelphia, I hope you all have a great week. Go Sixers. And Chuck, get on the phone, buddy. Start dialing.